from Isaiah chapter 40, and it's found on the back of your bulletin, so I invite you to turn to that. We'll give the kids a second to get to children's church. All right, Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll do 21 through 31. Follow along. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows in them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have ever seen the epic act of Abbott and Costello? A few of you? Have you seen that? They do the who's on first, what's on second sketch for anyone who might have seen that. That was one of my favorite sketches growing up. I remember seeing that at my grandpa's and my dad's. My dad would watch it too, and I always thought it was really funny. Have you ever felt like you were actually in the midst of that sketch sometimes? Yeah, I hear a lot of married people laughing, so that's something there. I actually have a story that I felt, even as I was in the middle of it, I felt like I might, if anyone was observing it, they might think we were actually acting out an act like that. When I was 14 years old, I was a very sheltered, small 14-year-old freshman in high school, and I had an opportunity of a lifetime. My dad was recently hired to work for Chrysler, and that was the year that Daimler took over Chrysler, and they became Daimler Chrysler. Daimler was a German company, and Chrysler was obviously an American company. I guess there was some bad press when this happened, and so Daimler thought in order to gain some good press, they were going to do something about it. And so they thought to do an all-expense-paid trip for 3 weeks for 10 North American students whose parents worked in one of the factories or worked for Chrysler themselves. And so my dad brought it home, and he put it on the table, and he said, if you ever want to go to Germany, this is probably the only chance you're ever going to get. And so I reluctantly filled out the form. I didn't think I had any chance. There was a lot of employees of this company. And it turns out not that many actually turned in the application. And so by chance, my probably poorly worded essay was selected. And before I knew it, I'd never been on a plane before. And now I was on a plane to go to Stuttgart in Germany with a bunch of people I didn't know. And so I remember landing there, it was an all-expense-paid trip, and we were going to spend 3 weeks in Germany, going to Berlin, Munich, going to the Daimler headquarters, seeing Mercedes, all kinds of options, and seeing things that most people don't get to see, especially a lot of the old churches and things like that. So I was pretty excited about it until I met my host partner. I got off the plane, and we were assigned to partners. There was 10 German people who had the same thing, and they were going to come to America the next year, and so we were partnered up with them. So the middle week of these 3 weeks, we got to spend immersed with their family. They would take us home, and we would spend that entire week with their family, seeing what a normal life looks like in Germany. And so when I got off the plane, I met my partner, who was probably under 5 feet, 4 foot something, kind of skinny, and a little awkward, which I might surprise some of you. And I get off the plane, and my partner seemed to me like a 7 foot, huge, Italian kid that actually just, his parents moved to Germany a few years ago, and his name was Andre DiBacchio. And I remember seeing Andre, and one of the first things we had like a get-to-know-you game, and I found out that Andre was scared of heights. And I thought he was about 7 feet tall, so I remember chuckling at that, and I said, buddy, you better stop growing then, because it's going to get awkward for you. But I remember as I met him that it was interesting, and so I got to spend the middle week there in Frankfurt, which was the city that he lived in, Frankfurt on Main. It's a little more of a metropolis city, one of the only cities that has a skyline in Germany, and he lived in an apartment off the Autobahn, which was kind of neat to see. If anyone knows the Autobahn, it's a kind of a ruleless road, apparently. That's what it looked like from the window as cars were speeding in and out. And so I remember the most important thing for me, besides all that, was that I got to have my own room for the week. So I remember that I got my own room, and there was one TV in it, and the TV, I was really excited until I found out all it had in English was BBC News. And so in the middle of the week, I was sitting there, and I probably had seen the same news story 3 times in a row now, because that was the only English, and I didn't know any German. And so I remember that I had a stash of German chocolate, delicious German chocolate that I think they gave to us when we got there, and I may have accumulated some more from some of the other kids. And so I said, well, this is better time than any, because Andre was off to school. He had year-long school, so he had to do some things during the week. I was stuck there by myself. And so I got into this candy, and before I knew it, I had eaten all of it. And my stomach started to rumble. I had this uh-oh feeling, like maybe I bit off more than I can chew. And so I immediately started to feel sick. So I bolted out of bed, and I sprinted to the only bathroom in the apartment. Except standing in the door frame of the bathroom was a really well-intentioned, middle-aged German woman who happened to be my host family, my host mom for the week. So I get there, and as quick as I can, I try to explain to her what I just did, and that I don't feel good. And she just starts repeating back to me in German, because she doesn't speak any English, and I don't speak any German. She mistook my eagerness to get to the bathroom as eagerness to get to her. So she was really quizzical and trying to figure out what was going on. And I remember she somehow pulled up a laundry basket and she said, laundry? Because apparently that was the only word she knew. And I said, no, I don't need any laundry. I just got here. And then she pulled out a telephone and she said, oh, are you homesick? I guess she said homesick. I don't know. But she kind of said, I could use the phone. I said, no. I kept rubbing my stomach and she didn't get with that. She thought maybe I was hungry. So then the worst thing she did was she pulled out a bunch of German chocolate. And I about fell over right there, and eventually she just gave up, and it seemed like forever for me. It was this massive game of back and forth, of misunderstanding. Finally, she gave down her guard, she walked away, and I knew she was muttering something mean about me in German, so I never actually learned the language so that my heart wouldn't break from finding out what she said. But misunderstandings can be interesting, can't they? They can be comical in a story like this. Rudyard Kipling once stated, we are all islands shouting lies to each other across seas of misunderstanding. Sometimes this misunderstanding can be very comical, like what I just said. It can be ironic. There can be funny things that happen. For some, though, it's not as innocent. Some of our misunderstandings in our lives aren't as innocent as having too much chocolate. Some can be fortuitous. They might be a misunderstanding that works out in your favor. For others, it might be aggravating. It might be annoying. But many of our misunderstandings can actually even grow to be disastrous, can't they? They can grow to be disastrous in our own lives. So I ask, what about you? As I told that story, could you think of any times in your life where there was just a severe case of misunderstanding going on between you and somebody else? Have you had some unfortunate event occur because of lack of discernment or understanding or knowledge on your own part? Have you ever unintentionally hurt someone because you failed to understand where they were coming from or what it was they were trying to say or what point they were trying to get across? Perhaps some of these misunderstandings even happened this morning on your way here. And now you're just waiting to get back to the fight that may have started over breakfast or over the drive here about which way to turn and things like that. Unfortunately, misunderstandings can have a profound effect on the people that we love. Like Kipling infers, our lives can often become a game of untangling the misunderstandings that seem to go endlessly on before us. How much of our daily communication can be plagued with this misunderstanding? Sure, we do good, and almost gives us a false confidence, as we do well in communicating, and then suddenly our voice isn't heard well. Suddenly our message that we're trying to say isn't getting across, and it can be frustrating. And sure, when it's over something trivial, it may seem insignificant. It may even seem comical. But what about when the misunderstanding is about something that is quite important? Today's message from Isaiah teaches us that when it comes to our Creator, our misunderstanding can actually grow to be very tragic. So I ask you to open to your bulletins, or if you brought a Bible, to open to Isaiah chapter 40. Today we finish a five-week series called Are You? In this series, we've asked the question, Are You? And we finish it with an important theological discussion. We've asked, Are you predestined? Are you baptized? Are you listening? Which I hope you still are. Are you following? Which I hope you still are. If you haven't heard these, I invite you to go back to our website and listen to them. It's been a very insightful series for me as I've heard my two colleagues preach on these different topics. But today we ask a new question. Today we ask, are you, and the question we ask is, are you understanding? We are indirectly asked this question by God in today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah. To know Isaiah is to know that he was a prophet in the Old Testament. He was a prophet who was called by God to forewarn of the destruction that was coming because of willing and continual disobedience of God's people. That the destruction of Jerusalem and ultimately the coming captivity into exile by the Babylonians was at hand. Isaiah's book is one written that with stern words of warning that the punishment was coming. But it also has hope. There's a pattern in the book of Isaiah where he warns of disobedience and he warns to turn and he warns what's going to happen, but then he also gives a hope that God is still God and God is still there. It serves as a reminder that God will later redeem his people through the coming of the Messiah. That God will later redeem the people through the coming of the Messiah who we know to be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I invite you with that knowledge to then turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and we'll read from verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. Here God is, through the words of Isaiah, is questioning the people about how they are choosing to live their lives. He's questioning who it is that they follow, who it is that they bow down to. He indirectly poses the question, are you understanding? Are you not understanding who created all of these things? Are you not understanding the world that I created for you? Are you not understanding that in comparison to the Creator himself, these things that they bow down to, these things that they choose to praise and worship, are actually like dead grasshoppers? Or they're like the rulers that have come before but are now dead in their graves? That they actually are like seed that has been dried out and is blown away to oblivion by the wind? Do you not know that these are the things that you choose to bow down to? Though the truth of the Creator is standing there talking to them through the words of Isaiah, they stubbornly refuse to understand. Instead, they are willing to settle for something much less than God himself. Instead of bowing down to the Creator, they decide to bow down to his very powerless creation. And it makes us wonder, are we guilty of this ourselves? Are we guilty of bowing down to something less than God? Poses an interesting question, doesn't it? But we continue in verse 25. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. God clearly states in this verse that he does not want to remain nameless. From the very beginning, the Creator has desired his own creation to understand and to know who he is. He not only created the stars, but he also keeps them going. He not only keeps the stars going, but he also calls them by name. He treats the stars as if they are his own children, like a father for his child. This is the God that we have. It is clear in this verse that God desires and even requires our understanding of who he is. Furthermore, since he is God and we are not, this understanding can only be gained by listening to him. Since only he can reveal himself to us, we had better be willing to listen to him when he chooses to do so, like in today's readings. We continue to hear these words in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, and they shall not grow faint. These are powerful words from God, images that we love to hold on to about who God is and the promise that he has. Today's about misunderstanding, and I think most of the time we understand who God is. It's not hard to be humbled by this earth and to see that we aren't God. Yet there's times where we do forget who he is. There's times where we do refuse to understand who he is. There's times where you and I are leading a life of misunderstanding. There's times where we fail to understand who God is. There's times where we fail to depend on God's power and interest in the lives of his creation. In fact, at times we are so misunderstanding of who God is that we can actually go and complain to God himself when his actions and his wisdom don't match up to our own desires and our own concerns of what we think is important in our lives. Because we fail to often understand that God is God and that we are not, we instead like to raise ourselves and our lives as being the most important thing in this created universe, above and beyond the Creator himself. It's tempting to think that he's calling out someone else. It's tempting to read these words from Isaiah and say, well, that was their problem. We have different problems. It's tempting to look at the person next to you and say, see, God's talking to you. But if you're honest with yourself, you've seen where this happens in your own life. Let me ask you a question. Have you yourself ever grown faint? Have you yourself ever grown weary? How many of us here today are to the point of exhaustion, even? Exhaustion physically, exhaustion spiritually and emotionally of what this world can do to us as a beaten part of his creation. Even today as we look around this room and as I preach this, I can see that exhaustion on many people's faces. And it can be very heartbreaking from up here to see God's people being exhausted in this way. So where is the hope for a tired and misunderstood generation? According to Isaiah, there is hope. Remember, he doesn't just give the gloom. He also talks about God and the hope that he has. According to Isaiah, the hope is found in the waiting. The hope is found in the waiting. Very interesting. Verse 31 states, those who wait for the Lord shall receive a renewal of strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. I have to go back to that question then. Are you understanding? How are you living out your life? What leads you out of bed in the morning, and what is it that you think upon, that you reflect back upon, that you can't help but fall asleep because you think so much about as you go to bed at night? The question, are you soaring like an eagle or being blown in the wind like a dead seed? As creatures, we all seek out understanding. We all seek some identity. We all seek out some renewal of strength from something in our lives. I know that you guys are here today, so I know that often you come and seek it from the Lord, which is a great thing. But there's times where we settle for something less, isn't there? If you don't think I'm talking about you, here's a good question to think about. What is the first thing that you go to when you start to tell other people your story? When you go to a party or you have a work event or things like that, people always say, well, tell me about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And there's these scripts that we have, isn't there? There's things that we say. And it's almost like we can sum who we are in a few sentences. And we've worked hard at crafting this. Unfortunately, as I was thinking that myself, the one that I don't usually start off with as I'm a creature, I'm a child of God. I almost never go to that in any sort of setting. For some of us, we talk about love. It's love that we settle for. It's love that we want to drive our understanding. We seek our understanding, our identity, our renewal of strength through the love of another person, through the love of a spouse or a parent or even a friend or a child. For other of us, it might be our careers. We might be eager to start one and find our identity and our strength there, or eager to change one, to get to a new one, or maybe it's the advancement in the one that you already have. Is this one of the things that we misunderstand? For others, it might be yourself. It might be ourselves. It might be our own personal feats, the things that we do better than anyone else, our own unique abilities, or it might even be our own good looks or our own charm. That might be what drives us. That might be what renews our strength, if only for a little bit. But as I asked, how many of us are seeking our understanding through our Creator? Are we drawing our strength from these earthly things or from the Creator and the renewal, the renewer of all things? Today's reading from Isaiah comes with one clear promise. Those that wait for the Lord, those that find understanding and renewal of strength from the Lord, will have that strength renewed. I ask, is your strength being renewed? Finally, the last question that we must address then is, it's easy to point out where we're failing at this. It's easy to point out where we settle for something less, but how is it that we actually gain renewal of strength? How is it that we actually gain understanding? As I was preparing for this, I think the answer is to focus on the reading. The answer is to focus on the four things that God reveals to us in this script from Isaiah. The first thing that I came across is that He is the Creator. He created all things, He continues all things, and He restores and one day will renew all things. We are finite. We have a beginning, we have an end. He does not. He is infinite. He is the Creator. And so we can understand God because He is the one that has created us unique with His fingerprint. He created us to understand who He is. The second thing then is that He does not grow tired or weary. He is not exhausted by creation. He does not grow tired in its continuance and care. We grow tired. We grow weary. We grow faint. We grow to the point of exhaustion. And yet He remains the same. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We can understand God because He is always working to help us understand. Even in our moments of exhaustion, in our moments of brokenness, He is there to teach us who He is. He is there to teach us that He is a God who loves us and cares for us. The third thing we learn is that He is beyond human ability to grasp and to understand. In other words, He is God and we are not. Only God can reveal Himself to us. We can understand because He has chosen to reveal Himself, and He does this through His Word. If we seek to understand God through anything less than His own words, we settle on something that isn't God. But when we seek to understand God through His Word, through prayer, through worship, through being with God's people, then we can understand who He is as the Creator. The final thing then, number four, is that God gives strength to the weary and to the weak. God turns Himself towards His creation. He blesses His creatures out of His love for them, not because He's obligated to do it, not because you and I deserve it, but because He truly loves us. We can understand God because of the work of His Son. We can understand God because He loves us so much that He sent His only Son to die for us. His only Son came to this earth, took on our flesh, and lived the life that you and I are called to live, yet He did it perfectly. And through this perfect obedience, He actually found Himself hung dead on a cross because He paid the price that you and I deserve to pay. And He did all of this so that through His resurrection, we know that He conquered sin, death, and the devil. And that through His resurrection, we have a stamp that He did this for the sole purpose that He can spend eternity with us. An eternity where there is no misunderstanding. An eternity of perfect harmony between God, between the Creator, and His creation, because He's crazy about us. Because God loves us, and that's all God does is out of love for us. The author John Brown states, "The entire life of God's people, their walking, their running, yes, even their soaring, is filled with the boundless, tireless strength and love of God." The question then is, are you understanding? When it comes to God's love and God's action, I pray that you are understanding because He is crazy for you and He wants to spend eternity with you. And He's moving heaven and earth to do it. This is most certainly true. Amen.